And let's get our Bibles again tonight, and please turn in them to the book of Psalms again this evening, and turn back one psalm to Psalm 119. And please turn to verses 17 through 24 of Psalm 119. This is our third look into this psalm in a brief series, or I don't know if it's brief, but a series of brief sermons, how about that, on loving the Word of God, this great psalm of the Word. Let's again tonight give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible Word, Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we pray as the psalmist has prayed here. Open our eyes so that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. Father, we ask that you will exalt Jesus Christ in our midst this evening and draw us unto him. For we pray in his name. Amen. As we sang just a moment ago, and as I mentioned, the very first verse of the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, verse 1, begins with these words: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And from that first line of the entire book of Psalms, there's a theme that is developed throughout the whole Psalter. And that theme is, and this is something you might want to write down, it's a theme that we find throughout the whole Psalter, and that theme is that God's Word contains the ultimate counsel and guidance and wisdom that we need for this life. God's Word contains the ultimate counsel and guidance and wisdom that we need for this life. And that theme that is begun in the very first verse of the very first psalm comes to something of a crescendo in Psalm 119, and it is specifically dealt with in the section that's before us this evening, and in fact, it's going to be dealt with further as we continue on in our study of the other sections still to come. Now, as we begin here, I want to be careful with my words tonight, and in saying this about the Word of God, that it is the ultimate counsel and guidance and wisdom that we need in life, I am wanting you to hear that word, and I want to be careful with that word, that it's the ultimate counsel and guidance that we need, not the only counsel, guidance, and wisdom that we need. And by that, I mean that there are matters of importance in this life that I think we have to acknowledge that the Bible just doesn't address or give what we'll call direct counsel on. Such as things like buying a house, or taking a certain job, or treating acne, or the flu. Those are things that the Scriptures don't directly address. Indeed, in those famous words of Moses to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In those words, we, I think, have a very helpful insight that actually dovetails well with the point I'm trying to make here at the outset. And that insight is that Moses is not here denying that man does in fact live by bread, but he is saying that man needs more than bread. Man also needs, and I would argue he is saying man ultimately needs, the Word of God. Neither of these facts, the need of man for physical bread and the need of man for the Word of God, neither of these facts cancels the other out. But hear me right, the ultimate place of guidance and wisdom and counsel is always given to the Word of God. Indeed, I think that's what we are taught when Jesus quotes this very verse, this Deuteronomy 8:3, he quotes that verse when he is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness to turn the rocks into bread. And at that point, Jesus says to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. What the devil is trying to tempt Jesus to do there is to take matters into his own hands. Instead of trusting in the Lord, instead of waiting on the Lord, he's saying, no, go ahead and do it. Take it into your own hands. It's important for us to realize Jesus was physically hungry at that point. He very much needed food at that point. But he was not going to go about getting the necessary food he needed in a sinful way. And so trusting in the Lord at that moment meant that Jesus went hungry. Trusting in the Lord at that moment meant Jesus was believing that God would uphold him in the hour of trial. And this giving of the place of primacy to the Word of God is brought out, I think, very clearly in the final two verses of our passage this evening. I'd like you to look at verses 23 and 24, first of all, tonight, kind of reversing the order of the passage. But look at verses 23 and 24. The psalmist writes, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counsel. Now, I think we would be wrong to imagine the psalmist, who likely was one of the kings of Israel, I think we would be wrong to imagine the psalmist sitting in his room doing devotions while an enemy is gathering outside the walls of Jerusalem, refusing to listen to his advisors and military counselors as to what they should do at this point. I think the point is that he is at peace because he is trusting in the will of the Lord. Now, I don't want to discount that maybe, and it could be absolutely fine, that he was doing devotional reading even while enemies were gathering outside the walls of Jerusalem. But this is not to say he's thrown off everything else in his life. But what he's saying here is, and the point of his words are, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to become overly consumed with taking it upon myself to outsmart the princes that are plotting against me. Rather, I'm going to conduct myself as one who trusts in and one who knows God and his word. And so I'm able to be at peace giving this situation over to the Lord, not necessarily abdicating his responsibilities as king. For instance, let me kind of flesh this out for us. the very life of King David actually has multiple examples of this kind of balance or this kind of play between conventional wisdom and following the commandment and wisdom of God. Think of the time that Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. If you children don't understand what I mean by relieve yourself, ask your folks on the way home. This is graphically recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 24. I commend the reading to you. But Saul is there. David has already been told he's going to be king. King Saul is there in that cave, and his men counsel him and say, look, God has given him into your hand. Kill him. I mean, he's in there by himself. All of David and his men were deeper back into the cave, and they could have killed Saul, and David would have become king. But David's heart was struck, and his actions were guided by the word of God. And he said, far be it from me to touch God's anointed. At that time, at that moment, God hadn't given the kingship to David. Saul still was the anointed king of Israel. And so David didn't feel that he could take Saul out. In other words, David didn't follow conventional wisdom, what military wisdom would have told him at that moment. He was bound by his conscience and his thinking, and his counsel came from the Word of God, not just what would have been helpful at the time or what seemed to be the smartest. And lest we think that this is all fine and good for those who live centuries ago and even millennia ago, I think we need to appreciate that this commitment to hold God's word as supreme over all conventional wisdom is actually needed more in our day today than maybe any time before. We are increasingly being pressured to adjust our morals and our ethics in light of cultural norms and current thinking. And this is on whatever topic, really, you want to pick. And we are being encouraged and we are being pressured more and more to leave and to lock the Bible into the irrelevant past, as if there were no moral absolutes that a God has given to his creation and that all mankind is to live by. I want to just mention a couple that actually concern the area of sexuality this evening. We are being told by our culture that homosexuality is normal and it is about love. But the God who is love itself, who in love has created mankind and who in grace has provided salvation for sinners, he said that it's not normal, but that it's a perversion of how he made men and women to love and to relate to each other. And so we're being faced again with the question, are we going to go by the counsel and the guidance and the wisdom of God's word, or are we going to go by the counsel and the word of our culture? We're being told by our culture that sexuality in general is to be exercised at will, and that there is nothing sacred about it, and it doesn't need to be waited for, it doesn't need to be enjoyed within the confines of marriage. But the God who created men and women as sexual beings and who desires them to delight in this gift within the confines of marriage, he has said that you need to be patient and you need to wait until that lifelong committed covenant bond of love is made before you exercise that aspect of your being. Again, are we going to go by the counsel of God's word? Or are we going to go by the counsel of our ever-changing culture? God is perfectly wise and loving and good. Think about that. God is perfectly wise, perfectly loving, perfectly good. And He gave us counsel in His Word. And He has promised peace. In other words, He's promised that inner contentment and joy to those who follow His counsel. And therefore, on the basis of His Word, I want to urge every one of you that is sitting here tonight, I would urge you in the strongest terms to absolutely eradicate from your thinking and from your terminology and from your decision making the argument or the thought, well, everyone does it. That has absolutely no place in the decision making of a believer. It has no place in the guidance in life of a believer. Desire God's Word more than your necessary food. I'm not saying at all that you won't feel the pains of obedience. That sometimes the path of obedience is uncomfortable. But like Job, who said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. Or Jesus, who said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Entrust yourself to your Creator and your Redeemer and your Sustainer. Entrust His word more than the words of your friends. Trust His word more than the words of your culture. Trust His word more than the words of your own wisdom and thinking. Listen to His counsel. Listen to His guidance. Listen to His wisdom. The Proverbs would even tell you to listen to those who have heeded His word. Listen to those who have been blessed with that peace and joy that He promises to those who seek Him and meditate upon His precepts. Instead of trying to live life by the ever-changing, foolish counsel of the current culture, which brings us finally to consider really just a very brief foretaste of the next section that we're going to get to in Psalm 119. And that is to consider something very briefly this evening of the prerequisites for understanding God's Word. Notice that this section in verses 17 through 19 begins with these words: deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I'm a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Maybe you're listening tonight and you think, well, that would be great to be so taken with the word of God. But you find yourself in a position where you say, but I simply am not. You've tried to read the Bible, but it's hard to understand. You get lost. You don't even know where to start reading. Well, I want to urge you, as you grab the Word of God, and maybe you're in that place of, you know, the Word just doesn't do anything for me. I don't seem to get out of it what everyone else seems to be getting out of it. I want to urge you tonight to start right here with this prayer at the beginning of this section. That is, make this prayer of the psalm writer, make it your own prayer in relation to your approach to the Bible. And in doing this, I want you to notice this evening three basic things that you need, you must understand about yourself and about reality. That will, if you understand these things, they will motivate you and move you to pray this prayer, or to pray along the lines of this prayer, pray these kinds of things each time you grab the word to read it. And again, we're going to just briefly look at these, and then we'll pick them up in the next section. But the first is you must understand first of all, that all of life is dependent on the Lord. All of life is dependent on the Lord. Notice that there is first and foremost here at the beginning of this section, a cry to the Lord that He would deal bountifully with you so that you might live. Lord, deal bountifully so I can, with me, so I will live. Just live. Stay alive. It's an acknowledgement that God upholds all things by the word of His power, including you and your life. Everything has life at this moment. Everything that has life at this moment has life at this moment because God wills it to have life at this moment. If He decided it, He didn't want it to keep living. If He decided that He didn't want you to keep living, there would be no next breath. There would be no next heartbeat. And therefore, the call tonight and what this prayer is calling you to recognize and what you need to begin thinking about as you pray and as you seek counsel from the Word of God is that you need to get your life oriented around Him and His glory. The negative way of saying that is that this world is not about you. This life is not about you and your issues. It is about God and His glory. Remember as you begin to read your Bible that this is all about Him. This book is all about Him and His story. And what the Bible tells you is how you fit into His story. It's not a do-it-yourself list or some kind of individualistic guidance. But rather, the Scriptures are God's revelation to you of how you might fit into God and His story. When we read the Bible that way, it becomes less about whether you should take this job or that job. In other words, finding detailed counsel about your issue. And it becomes more about how you can glorify God in whatever job you are in whatever situation you find yourself in. If all of life is dependent upon Him, then your approach to the Word of God becomes a quest to know Him better. To know the One who holds all things together by the word of His power. Secondly, in this prayer, notice that you must understand, and here's the second fill-in, you must understand that understanding the Bible is dependent on the Lord. You have to come to understand that understanding the Bible is dependent on the Lord. If the Bible really is what it claims to be, and that is the very word of the one living and true God, then by definition, it is not a normal book. You're not going to be able to casually pick up the Bible and read it and understand it like you would just any other book out there. And thus, the psalm writer cries out in verse 18, "Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." I mean, do you want to be wowed by the Word of God? Then ask God to open your eyes to the wondrous things that are in it. Indeed, you can't understand it. You actually can't understand it without the aid of the Holy Spirit granting you understanding. And so, the beginning of this section of Psalm 119 is really a call to humble ourselves and to pray that God will help us understand His Word and to profit from it. This will change everything. If you can understand this and if you can figure this out and you understand that to actually understand the Bible, even understanding the Bible, you're dependent on the Lord, it changes everything because it changes you and it begins to convince you more and more that you need to be changed. that something needs to happen in you for you to be able to benefit from the Word. You need the Spirit of God within you to be able to understand the words of the Spirit of God in the Bible. And this begins ultimately by recognizing that you're a sinner, repenting of that sin, seeking salvation in Jesus Christ. Once you're saved, once you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Bible begins to make much more sense. Actually, it begins to make sense. It begins to come alive. And it begins to, you start hearing the voice of your Savior therein. Finally, and this is C, you must understand that the walk of faith, you must understand that the walk of faith is dependent on the Lord. You will seek counsel from the Lord in His Word when you come to understand that you are a stranger and an alien in this world and that your true home is in heaven. When you begin to understand what your true identity is, that as the psalmist says in verse 19, I'm a sojourner on earth. Well, if you're a sojourner on earth, then worldly conventional counsel becomes less and less attractive. I want counsel from that place where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know about you, but anytime I've anticipated traveling to a place in the world that I've never been, I like to get a book or two before I go there to learn about it. I want to know what they eat there and what it's like there and where I should go and things like that. That becomes my interest. Reading books as I'm anticipating going to another country, reading books about Colorado Springs is just somehow unappealing to me at that moment. I just want to know what it's going to be like, where I'm going. Well, as a child of God, hoping for your eternal rest with the Lord, you'll begin to crave more and more the counsel of His eternal Word. If He is your reality, then His Word will be the place you want to receive counsel from for actually living in this world as you anticipate going to the next. It will be your ultimate source of counsel, wisdom, and guidance. His testimonies then, as the psalmist says at the end of that section, will become your delight and your counselors. To be a Christian is to be one who is like Christ. And Christ Jesus is the living, breathing Word of God. In other words, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Another way of saying that is everything that God wants us to know, everything that He wanted to tell us, He told us in the person of Jesus Christ. When you read the words of the Lord, when you read the laws and the commandments and precepts of the Lord, you're reading about the very character of Jesus. In other words, you're reading about what He was like. You're reading about how He thought about things. You're reading about what His opinion about the issues of life actually are. And thus, when we urge a heeding of the, urge you to heed the counsel of the Word of God, what we're ultimately urging is nothing more than a Bible-based clinging to, holding fast to, and desire to be like Jesus. I want to conclude this evening reading the passage in light of Christ, and again, taking very serious that Jesus is the living, breathing Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. Hear these lines here in 17 through 24 in that light. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep faith in Christ. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things about your Son. I'm a sojourner on earth. Hide not your Son from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your Son at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from Christ. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept my faith in Christ. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on Jesus. Your Son is my delight. He is my counselor. Let's hold fast to Christ. Let's remember that the Bible is ultimately speaking of Him. And thus may Jesus increasingly be your wisdom, your guide, and your counselor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your written word, and we thank you for your incarnate word. We thank you that Jesus would come and your Son would come and take on our flesh. We thank you for the living, breathing picture of your very character in Him. And Father, we desire as your people to be conformed to His image, and so we pray that you would make us diligent in our reading and study and heeding of your word. Give us eyes to see and faith to seek after Christ as we read your word, that we might recognize your word as the very word of Christ, and that it would dwell richly within us. And so, Father, use your word as Jesus prayed. Sanctify them as he prayed to you as our high priest, and as he prayed for us. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. Lord, we pray that you'll sanctify us and conform us more to Christ, and that you'll use your word to do that. We ask these things tonight for your glory. We ask that our lives would be increasingly pleasing to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.